Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Very familiar verse here. Let's read it together. Verse 7, Hebrews 11, verse 7. Let's read it together. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Heavenly Father, I ask that You'd give me grace to speak the words that You've laid on my heart. And I pray, Lord, that You would also give grace to the hearers, that they might receive this, they might ponder the truth in it, that they might act upon it, that they might move with fear. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to be speaking this morning primarily to the folks who are in this room. Primarily this morning, I'm going to be speaking to those who will receive this tape. Excuse me. And there are multitudes of people. We hear from them weekly off the website and in letters. We continually hear from people who are wondering if there is a church like ours in their area. And my heart is heavy to know and to answer them that no, I do not believe so. I do not know another church like ours anywhere. I know some that are similar, but they have some important differences of doctrine that I believe are important enough for me to not attend there because something I could not adhere to, something I could not submit to and follow. And so it's almost scary to hear from all these people who wonder if there's a church like ours in their area and to continually have to tell them, no, I'm afraid I can't say that there is. And so I want to look at this passage here. The Bible says in Matthew 24:36, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And in the days of Noah, we know that Noah had a good heritage. He had been taught to worship the true God. We know that Noah had had fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers who had worshipped the true God. But we also know that much of Noah's family, the close family and the extended family, had gone off on another path and were not worshiping the true God. They were most likely worshiping gods. Maybe there were some atheists. Maybe there were many different people with many different gods, just like there has always been. We can assume that man is the same as man has always been. And so the situation was probably very similar to what we see today, because as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the days when the Lord comes back. They'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, prospering in many ways, and yet not mindful of what had been handed down to them from the saints before them. Noah, however, was different. Noah wanted to preserve the faith that had been once delivered to his forefathers. And so Noah stood alone. And Noah stood upon what he'd been taught, what had been handed down to him. Maybe there was some written form. We do not know of that. But we know there was oral tradition. We know they had passed down the stories of Adam and Eve and creation, and they had passed them down. We know that the book of Jude says that Enoch had written a book, and the seventh from Adam prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh within thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch was preaching this, and he was the seventh from Adam, Noah's great-grandfather. And so we know that there had been much preaching, there had been teaching, there had been the truth passed down. But we find in Noah's day a man, a father, a papa, if you will, who walked with God, who loved God, who loved truth and hated iniquity, a man who was really concerned about what the Bible really said and not just defending a lifestyle. And because of this, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He had faith, he had a living faith, and because of his living faith, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord opened his eyes and warned him of a coming judgment, of a coming destruction upon the wicked, and gave him directions to save his soul and the souls of his family. It was not an easy project. It had never been done before. It would have seemed to him, and he would have deemed it impossible, had it not been the only option he had for saving his house. It was the only thing that he could do to save his house. Therefore, no matter how impossible it seemed, no matter how hard it would be, no matter how many long, weary days it would take, Noah set out to build an ark of cypress wood or gopher wood, to pitch it within and without with a bitumen, asphalt-type pitch. Make it 3 stories high, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. He had no DeWalt cordless drill, no Sawzall, no circular saw, no radio arm saw, no chainsaw. He had no air nailer. He had no Home Depot, Lowe's. He didn't even have a sawmill. He set out to do something that I don't think that I could accomplish. He set out to do something that one man could not accomplish. It took a whole family working together to accomplish it. They had to build this ark, and then they had to make provision for 7 of every clean animal and 2 each of every unclean animal. They had to build corrals. They had to spend nearly a year floating around in this thing with all these animals. But he saved his house. He saved his sons. He saved his daughter-in-laws. He saved his wife. And you know what? That's all he saved. A man, he was just a man, a father, a man with a family who needed to eat 3 meals a day. He was a man who could become angry, a man who had faults. But he was man enough to follow through by faith in God. Now I am talking to a number of fathers out in this world, out in this nation. I have no idea where this tape will go, but wherever it goes, I'm talking to you. The New Testament church is the body of Christ for us today. It is a type of the ark. The ark is a type of Christ. Everyone who is in the ark was saved. Everyone who is not in the ark was destroyed. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is an ark. If you are in the body of Christ, you are in Christ, then the coming judgment that will come upon this world will not destroy you, but you will be saved. And if your family is in the ark, your family will be saved. So, going back to Matthew 24:36, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So I want to look out there and I want to ask you fathers. Your fathers, your papas, you have a family, maybe you're single. Maybe you're just a single man. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Where is your ark? Do you not see the things not seen as yet? Have you not been walking with God close enough to be warned of things not seen as yet? Do you not know that there is a coming judgment? Do you not know that there is a coming judgment, not just the judgment seat, but judgment on this nation? A coming judgment in this world, persecution, the last days, when evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. When Matthew 24 says that all these are the beginning of sorrows, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We are living in those days. And because iniquity shall abound, we are living in those days. Iniquity is abounding. The love of many shall wax cold. We are living in those days. The love of many for truth and righteousness is definitely waxing cold. You've got a lot of churchianity out there, but you don't have a lot of heat. You don't have a lot of love for the Lord and for truth and for right. You've got a lot of entertainment. You've got a lot of get together and have a good time and pat each other on the back and show off to each other your new manicure and your dress and your hair. Got a lot of that. Because iniquity shall abound. It's everywhere. On the TVs, the radios. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Do you not see this coming? Then where is your ark? Oh, you say, oh, what if Noah had said, hey guys, we don't really need an ark. Let's just build a little boat. He wouldn't have made it, would he? What if Noah had said, hey guys, you know, this is an awful big boat. Why don't we build about half this big? Do you know what the only prescription that saved Noah was? The entire prescription, the whole counsel of God. Had he altered the prescription, it would not have saved his house, and he would have lost his own soul in the process. The only prescription that Jesus has for you today to save your soul and to save the soul of your family is the whole counsel of God. I would like to know where you get off on teaching a churchless Christianity or a church that does not obey the principles of Scripture. Where do you get off with 50% of the counsel of God or 75% of the counsel of God? I'm talking to fathers this morning. I want to know where your ark is. What have you prepared for your family? In Noah's day, there was a lot of people living the good life. They were confident of their future. Noah was an oddball. And you know what? None of Noah's relatives believed him. And his sons' wives, where were their families? But everybody who helped build the ark got on the ark. And those who would not help build the ark never got on the ark. What ark are you building? Are you helping to build an ark? I say the Church of Jesus Christ is a type, or it is the fulfillment of the type that the ark typified. The ark was a type of the church. And a church was the design of the New Testament Christian's lifestyle in the New Testament. Jesus set up His church. He gave His life for the church. He sent Christians out and apostles out to start churches, to have elders and deacons and a body of believers, to have a bishop and a body. As that church grew, there was more need for more elders, more deacons, more leadership. They became a living organism called the church. They were the body of Christ in that place. That was what Christ's plan was. Do you know what? Had it not been for those bodies, those churches of people bound together by faith in Christ, Christianity would not have survived the persecutions it has endured. And the people who are off by themselves and not in a church and not doing it God's way, I can pretty much guess that they didn't make it. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Let's see here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because if you don't, you won't make it. That's why. So, we've got a lot of people out in the world, and they don't think their family needs fellowship. And they don't think their children are going to need a godly future mate. And they don't think they need to be in communion with other believers. And they don't think they need preaching regularly. And they don't think their children and their family need the examples of other people in the church and the positive peer pressure. They don't think their family, their young people are going to need other witnesses to back up what they're teaching their children. And they don't think when persecution comes that they'll need the protection and the encouragement of a body. But you know what happened to those who weren't helping build Noah's ark? They didn't get on the ark. And what happened to those who weren't on the ark? They were drowned in the flood. Now, if this is a type of the church, let me ask you, where is your ark? Are you a part of a biblical body of believers? Are you building an ark for your family's salvation? Just you staying home with the family. And, I understand maybe for a temporary arrangement, you cannot go to just these churches around you because they're a bunch of corrupted entertainment houses. I understand that. But how long do you think this temporary arrangement is going to work with God's blessing before you move with fear, uproot your family, or find a godly fellowship and get your children into it? What have you prepared for your family, Papa? What about your son? He's growing up, Dad. Who's he going to marry? What kind of income is he going to have? What are you doing to prepare your son to be able to have a future income to provide for his own family in a way that will not destroy his faith? What about his friends? You think your son's going to grow up and not need any friends? You think little sister and big sister and mom and dad's enough? Oh, he's going to find friends. I guarantee you he'll have friends somewhere, but where? You think your son's going to grow to manhood and he doesn't need a church? He doesn't need a church body. A biblical, God-honoring, God-fearing church body. What about your daughter? You expect her to get married someday? You know, it's hard to find godly young men in our day. And the reason it's hard is because God's people are not following God's program. If God's people were following God's program, you would find bodies of godly believers. Now, I'm not talking about buildings with a little cute sign out front. I'm talking of bodies of believers where there's people gathered together to live holy, to encourage one another to live holy, to encourage one another to raise their children in godliness and purity. Teach character and discipline. Then you would have godly young men. We know plenty of stories of girls growing up in these denominational churches and marrying a boy who was raised in church, and she's a little whore and he's a no-account reprobate, and they're both raised in church. And the marriages don't last. We're not talking about that. That is not the church of Jesus Christ. You call that the body of Christ, you might as well slap Christ in the face. You might as well do the Judas kiss. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, is not these entertainment houses full of immodesty and godless profanity that we see everywhere. And it's high time people wake up and realize it. When Jesus comes back, He's going to be looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. A people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We don't see that in the denominational churches around. It's not there. Laodicea was an apostolic church. Laodicea was started by apostles. I guarantee the people of Laodicea wore head coverings. I guarantee the people of Laodicea had many of the apostolic traditions that most of churches today have thrown away. But yet they were lukewarm, and Jesus threatened to spew them out. Oh, but our church must, you know, surely our church is better than Laodicea. That's what a lot of people are thinking today. Or they don't even think they need a church. At least the people in Laodicea were going to church and supporting a church. I want to say something to you mothers out there. What would happen if when Noah began to build the ark, if she had whined and moaned, he's spending so much time building this ark, he's just not... It's just not like it once was. There's not enough family time, and she just doesn't hardly see him anymore because he's always working on the ark. Or what if she'd have been complaining that she had to be out there helping build the ark? She couldn't go shopping with the girls, or she, you know, they just couldn't afford the nice things they used to afford because he's buying all this lumber, spending all this time and money building this ark. They're having to live a little rougher than they once did. Things are tougher. Things are tight. Because Noah's building an ark. What do you think would have happened if Mrs. Noah would have whined and complained and dug in her heels and hindered Noah's progress? She could have thrown a wrench in the whole thing, couldn't she? By the way, in Luke where it talks about Noah, it also talks about Lot. And you know what? Lot's wife almost threw a wrench in things. But God saw to it that she only destroyed herself. She was looking back. God was trying to rescue Lot and what family he had left. What a mess it was. But he had something left, and God was going to help him deliver what he had left. And Mama was looking back. And God, in spite of herself, God used her as a testimony to every wife from there on. When God's leading your husband to save the family, you stop looking back. I'm going to talk to you young people. What do you think would have happened when Noah started building that ark if his sons would have said, "Hey man, this is your project, Dad. We got lives to live. We got things to do." You think Noah could have done it by himself? Thank God he had some boys there that were willing to jump in and help. Amen? He needed that. He needed a family effort. I guarantee you the whole family was involved. That was a big project. What happens when Dad says, "Look, we're gonna uproot. We're going to sell our home. We're going to move here because there's a godly church there and we need to get in a godly church and support it. We need to get in there and help build the ark. Because that's what Christ has called every Christian to do. To get in a biblical body of believers and help build it. That's what God has called every single believer to do. And you're no exception. And if you're not doing that, you're not in the will of God. Now I know you don't hear this very much, but that's the reason we're in the shape we're in. What would have happened? Or what would happen? If a father goes to his family and says, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sell the house. We're going to move to Missouri. What kind of work are you going to find? I don't know. We're going to trust God to provide. But the number one thing we're going to do is make sure that we get over there and help build the ark. That we get over there because our children are growing up. And they need to be growing up in a church. And they need to be growing up under preaching. And they need to be growing up with godly fellowship. We'll figure some way out to make a living. And you uproot. And what if all the children start whining and complaining and bellyaching? And Mama John chides in with them and starts whining and complaining and bellyaching. You think Daddy's going to follow through with it? No. He won't. You know what Daddy needs? He needs a wife and some young people to say, hey Dad, we're with you. We know that judgment is coming. We know that we need to get in the ark. We need to help build that ark. Our future is at stake. You know, right doctrine, believing right and being separate from the world is good. But it doesn't make up for obedience to the practical organization that Jesus intended His people to live in. Your children need a true biblical church. We have gathered here. Our families have uprooted. They've sold their homes. They've moved. They've given up a lot. They've given up family, friends, homes, jobs, and they've moved here because we are gathering together to build an ark. And let me say to you out there who receive this tape wherever you are, I don't know your situation, but God does. If you can't find a church this good in your area, that's biblical. Now, see, there's only one plan. That's why I say it's got to be very similar to this church, or it's not going to do, because there's only one blueprint. There's only one plan that's going to work. Okay? There's a lot of different varieties out there of quote-unquote churches, but there's only one plan in the Bible. So unless you can't find a church in your area that is like the one that we have built, are building, according to the design of the Scriptures, then you need to sell out, you need to uproot, and you need to move. Let me give you my prescription. We aren't building this ark just for our own benefit. We're building this ark because there's people like you all over the United States who need an ark. You need a church. You need a godly fellowship. You need biblical brothers. You need brothers who you can meet weekly with at brothers' prayer meeting and pray and share your concerns and get some counsel and encourage one another. And your wife needs godly Christian ladies that she can meet with regularly and get godly fellowship and counsel and encouragement. And your children need other young people who are living godly and obeying their parents and being trained. They need it. You're going to reap bad consequences in the future if you don't follow the recipe that God has laid out in His Word. And that recipe, one of the main parts of that recipe is the church body. A biblical church body. Now here's my prescription to every family out there listening to this tape who does not have what I've been talking about. An ark that's designed by Christ. Number one, sell what you don't need. Liquidate whatever you can liquidate to get yourself financially freed up. Sell what you can, sell your house, sell out, and move here or to a church group that is as biblical as this church is. Number three, rent. if you have to. Live within your means. Don't expect you're going to come and buy an 80-acre farm and start a dairy tomorrow or something. Just get here. Rent a house. Live within your means. Find work. We'll help you find work. You get out there and beat the bushes and find some work. Get your family in church. Number four, have daily Bible time and homeschool your children. Papa, get involved. Daily Bible time with the family. Homeschool the children. Number five, become an active, supportive member of this biblical body or one like it. Go to men's meeting. Go to ladies' meeting. Exhort. Take exhortation. Give some ideas and take some ideas. Interact. Don't go there and walk in all sheepish wondering what everybody thinks about you. Go in there expecting to give love, and we're here waiting to expecting to give love. Amen? Don't go there to get, go there to give. Go there to say, hey, I'm here to help build the ark. Hand me a hammer. Number six, lead your family by your example to support the biblical church authority and order. Learn to live in community. Learn to live in a body. Learn to live under accountability. Learn to be incorporated into the body and the family of God, the body of Christ. Except the corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You need to die to your individualistic way. Die to your image. Die to your self-will. You need to be willing to learn to blend into a body. And learn to communicate. Share your ideas. Improve the body if you can. You'll become a part of it. When you come here, you become a part of the decision-making mechanism of this body. So get in there and do what you can. Number seven, uphold the ideas and vision of this body. Become a spiritual influence on this church. Basically, help build the ark. The family you save will be your own. The family you save will be your own. Your sons and daughters will look back someday, they'll rise up and call you blessed. They will appreciate the fact that you got them into a godly environment, that you got them into a godly situation where they met a godly young man or a godly young lady, and they had a godly mate and had a forum to raise up godly children. They had godly friends. Your wife will rise up and call you blessed if she has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in her. She will thank you that now she can wear a head covering with other ladies who wear head covering and dress modest with other ladies who dress modest, and she's not continually going to a fashion show church while she's trying to dress plain. She will appreciate that. Your sons will appreciate the fact that you're not taking them to a church where they've got to be defrauded or watch out for the immodesty. And your daughters will appreciate the fact that you're taking them to a church where everybody else is out there flaunting and dressing up and showing what they've got and being as fancy as can be, and here they are, little plain Jane here walking in the door. They'll thank you for that they're in a place where they're all living godly. But there is a standard of holiness upheld for everyone together. And there not have to be an oddball to live godly. The church I grew up in, when I started living godly, I was an oddball because I lived godly in that church. The Bible college I went to, because I lived godly, I was an oddball in that Bible college in Springfield, Missouri. Christ did not start a church-less Christianity. And you need to stop preaching a church-less Christianity to your family and community. You meeting in your home with your family and listening to a tape or watching a video is only good for a temporary arrangement. It is not good for the long haul, and it will not hold up when tough times come. It will not carry your young people through when they reach adolescence and they start reaching adulthood, and everybody else is dating and everybody else is doing this and that and watching TV and all these other things, and they're being held back, so there's going to come a time when Satan is going to get the advantage because you are messing up the recipe. And Satan is going to get the advantage over you, and you're going to lose some children. Oh, maybe it's just one. Is that okay with you? Is losing one okay with you? If I lose one, my heart will be broken. My heart will be broken if I lose one. All of Noah's family got on the ark. You know, it's interesting that all the people who sit around watching the ark be built, I don't know if God allowed their heart to be hardened because they never got in there and helped, but they never benefited from the ark that they did not help build. Something to think about. They never benefited from the ark that they did not help build. People are looking for, oftentimes they go visit a church and they're looking for something that's already up and going and perfected so they can just come right in and sit down and benefit. But they don't want to get in there and struggle and strive and help build it. And I wonder sometimes if that attitude doesn't provoke the wrath of God and allow hardness to come into their hearts where they don't get the benefit from something they weren't willing to help build. The ark is a type of Christ. Being in Christ in the New Testament ideology is being in Christ's body, the New Testament apostolic church. In the New Testament, if you were not in the New Testament apostolic church or under the authority of that New Testament apostolic church, you were not in Christ. And when you were excommunicated out of a New Testament apostolic church, you were out of Christ. That understood it. That's why church discipline in the first century was so effective. Because when you were put out of the body, you lost your hope of heaven. Where is your ark this morning? You know what? I am weary with watching families whose jobs are just too good, their situations are just too good, to uproot and leave and find a biblical body. And so I see young people growing up without a very important, vital ingredient in their life. I see young people growing up and missing it. Missing the mark. Not having what they need. And Satan gets the advantage. That must have been a pretty good job. That must have been a real nice house to sacrifice young people for. What are you going to do, Mom, Dad? Mama, you going to get behind him and support him? Young people, you're going to say, go get them, Dad, we're with you. Doesn't matter if we have to live in a mobile home. We need to get on the ark before the Lord returns and catches us out here outside of the ark. We need to get in a biblical body of believers and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How can you say you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness unless your life is wrapped up in the building of a New Testament church? How can you say it is? I don't agree. I don't think you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness unless your life is wrapped up in the building of a New Testament church. And I think it's going to show up in your home. And what I have said because I love you. My heart grieves. I did not sacrifice what I've sacrificed to build this church except because I care about my family and your family. And these people in this room that I'm speaking to, the people who are already members of Living Faith Christian Fellowship, they have not sacrificed what they've sacrificed because they didn't care. They do care. We care about your family. And this is a message to you out of love from us. I hope that you will earnestly, humbly beseech the Lord concerning His will on this matter before your children grow up, before they get too old, before they begin seeking elsewhere, because you've not provided for them the forum that they need. Let's stand together. I've shared the burden on my heart, something I felt has needed to be said for a long time. I wish our tape mail out went out to more people. There's many, many out there who need to hear what I just said. They may not like it, they may not like me after I said it, but they need to hear it. And I'd like to open this up if any of you brothers would like to share a word. Maybe you could step up close to where they could hear you on the tape. Maybe the tape's, I don't know, it might be about over, but anyone have a word to share, I appreciate you sharing it. Thoughts from the brethren. Maybe just a good hearty amen would help.
There's just a thought for me, and I've said it many times before, that we didn't have a choice where to go for church. We didn't know where we were going to go, but we looked, and we looked, and we looked. And the Lord blessed us. He blessed us with a body that was relatively close, but we still have to move, you know, and we're in the process of doing it.
Is moving easy?
And it's hard. But you know what? I'm reaping the blessings as I do it. And it can be done. It's been done. Many people here moved further. And I know people in the Mennonite churches that have uprooted and moved. So it can be done.
Man, it can be done. We've all been there. My wife and I and family, in the process of trying to build a godly church, we lived in a 16 by 20 shop for quite a while. And it was all for the purpose of building the church. Let's close in prayer and ask God to bless and help those who hear this who are still on the other side. None of us have totally, I mean, some of us have gotten settled in pretty good. Some of us are still in the settling in process and it's still not easy. But there are those who haven't even started their journey. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would use the ministry here, this tape. Pray that Your Holy Spirit would convict families, that they would move with fear and prepare an ark for the saving of their house before their young people grow too old and it's too late. Lord, set some young man, some father, some papa on fire to do what needs to be done for his family. Help us to get a fresh vision for building this ark here, Lord. Give us fresh strength and fresh vision. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.